بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحديث الخامس عن أبي أمامة سدع من أجلان الباهلي رضي الله تعالى عنه. We read this hadith previously. In this hadith is made mention of the khutbah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Hajjatul Wada, which is a famous khutbah in which great, great important points of deen were explained. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started it with ittaqullah, fear Allah ta'ala. And that is the relevant part with this chapter, that in this chapter, the fear and to have the fear of Allah, to be conscious of the presence of Allah ta'ala, and that we are answerable to Allah ta'ala. Following from that was that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, perform your 5 times namaz, keep your rozas of the month of Ramadan, fulfill your zakat, and follow your leaders, the leaders in your country, and then you will enter into the jannat of your Rabb. So in this, all these things will only be made possible if a person has the fear of Allah, the conscience of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, it is very important to make an effort to acquire the taqwa. Like, for example, children will learn in a maktab, students will learn in a darul uloom, all the knowledge. But if they don't have the taqwa, they won't practice upon that knowledge. So it isn't just knowledge that is enough, it is taqwa that has to be developed within a person. And for that also, a definite effort is required to develop taqwa within a person. The fear of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. We find that many Jews and Christians also have got lot of knowledge of deen. Our deen, Islam, and they study it very, very thoroughly. But without taqwa, they use all that knowledge to try and harm the Muslims and Islam. So just the knowledge alone is not sufficient. This taqwa is very important. The narrator of this hadith, Abu Umama Suddi, Ibn Ajlan al-Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, lived in Syria and passed away in Homs, one of the cities of Syria, in the year 81 Hijri. He was the last Sahabi to pass away in Syria. After that, Syria was empty and void of any Sahaba. 250 ahadith are narrated from him. With regard to this hadith further, many of the injunctions of Islam, such as salah, zakat, and sawm, are based upon the foundation of taqwa. As explained, taqwa is very important, and all these great, great commands will only be able to be fulfilled, and be fulfilled sincerely and correctly if a person has got the quality of taqwa. Otherwise, he might do it like in a darul uloom just for roll call, but he's not doing it with the consciousness that I have to. It's the command of Allah, and I have to fulfill it. Or, for example, some person will just come because his wife is pestering him. You must go for namaz, but he is not really interested in namaz. Just to make her happy, he's coming. In the same way, the husband might be telling the wife, and just to make the hub, because the husband will shout, will reprimand children, for example, then they perform the namaz just to make the elders happy. So taqwa is required for all matters. Whatever it is, if we have taqwa, we will fulfill all the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. Hence, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commends his advice with it. This very great khutbah, Hajjatul Wada, the farewell sermon, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the very basis of it all, the taqwa, the fear of Allah Ta'ala. The hadith teaches us that it is essential to obey leaders and those in authority pertaining to matters that do not contradict the commands of Allah Ta'ala. And this refers really basically in Muslim countries where the leaders are Muslims also. And that also with the condition that they don't give any command which is in contradiction to the command of Allah Ta'ala. Because the clear principle is لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience into the creation in the disobedience of the Creator. Allah is supreme, Allah's law is supreme. There is no law that can go over the law of Allah Ta'ala, and there is nobody that can go over Allah Ta'ala. This is a very basic principle which even ordinary Muslims understand. But it's a pity that at this time we find that very learned people also give preference to the laws of other people over the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas if the laws of Allah is superior, and that is what must be maintained at all times. If they however command any such matter which contradicts the teachings of Islam, it will not be permissible to obey them. Whatever command they give which goes against the teachings of Islam, then it is not permissible to obey the Muslim leaders also. Otherwise, Lord's stress has come that be obedient to the leader, to the Khalifa of the time. Be always very obedient to him, for great goodness lies in there. If people are disobedient to him, there will be chaos in that country. But this is all with the provision that it is within the sphere and ambit of the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. The same way it will apply, there is so much stress that a wife must be obedient to her husband. But if he gives her a command contradicting the laws of Allah, then it is not at all permissible for her to follow the command of the husband. Many wives also, they do many wrong things, dress wrongly, cut their hair, etc. And they say, my husband wants it like that. He tells me to that. There is no permissibility to obey the husband in that. And of course, it's much more less that the husband follows the wife's commands. And she commands him with wrong things and he obeys her. That is right, totally against logic also and against deen also. Very similarly, the parents, how much stress has been placed on respect and obedience of parents, especially the father, obedience to the father, so much stress has been laid. But if he also gives a command against Sharia, then it is not permissible to obey the parents, even the parents. If the parents are non-Muslims also, Islam has taught respect for the non-Muslim parents also. But where they command against the command of Allah, then with proper respect, we don't obey them at all. This is a basic principle which just seems to be thrown out from the window, and many of us, we just fall prey and we say that we are commanded to do this, we are told to do this, we can't help it, we just have to follow. So we have to understand that Allah is most supreme and His commands are most supreme. It will not be permissible to obey them. It is also not permissible to rebel against a leader unless he commits open kufr, disbelief. In a Muslim country, the Khalifa of the time, the leader, the Amir, he also to disobey him is not permissible. But when he also openly goes against the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, and they do complete wrong things, as unfortunately we are witnessing today, all the wrong things that are happening and that are not only supported, but they are being encouraged by so-called Muslim leaders in different spheres. It is not permissible to obey them at all. A person has to obey the commands of Allah, which is most superior. Then there is another aspect that if a person is forced to, then he is permitted that just outwardly he does what they are commanding him. But that too is more superior, according to the strength of his iman, that he rather dies also. But he does not disobey Allah Ta'ala, no matter how they punish him, nor even if they kill him, but the command of Allah is most superior. That is the superior thing. But it is permissible at such a time to save one's life that a person outwardly obeys and accepts what is being said, which is wrong. But that is just outwardly, it should not be from the heart. And Allah knows perfectly what is in the heart, what a person is doing from his heart, and what he is not doing from his heart. So these are very important aspects to understand our deen properly. And it is not just our deen is not just here for dunya. Our deen is really for akhirah. That is the eternal life. And it is a life of Jannat or Jahannam. And it is a choice of a person, he wants to go to the pleasures of Jannat, or he wants to go and burn and suffer with all the azab of Jahannam and forever and ever. So he must be very careful of his iman. It isn't just a small thing, it is a very serious matter for each and every individual with regard to himself. May Allah have mercy upon us, protect us, make it easy for us to practice upon deen with afiyat and salamati, and help us and guide us.